I've got an unusual title tonight. It's called How to Have a Boring Testimony. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I already got that. I was hoping for something new, but it is a word from the Lord tonight, and it's not quite as light as it sounds. And let's pray together, okay? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for so many young people tonight that are so hungry for the things of God. Lord, so wanting to make a difference in this very, very dark time. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to help me tonight. And God, help me to speak this, to live this, and help us all, Lord, to be able to understand and to lay hold of the truths, God, that you'll speak this evening. Help me to speak simply and clearly, and lead us into something of yourself, Jesus, Lord, that will cause your name to be glorified and cause our hearts to be gladdened. Lord, may we leave here tonight with gladdened hearts. I pray that you sovereignly and powerfully touch many lives. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Now let me read to you something that the Apostle Paul said to some of his friends in a particular church. I'm just going to read it to you. He said, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." Now that sounds like a lot to digest. But basically what Paul is saying is this. God is writing a story, and the story is about his life. And it's a story that he's writing in the hearts of people. It's not a story that's just in a book. It's a living story, because really, realistically, you and I are, there's a Bible translation called the Living Bible. You and I are the Living Bible. Did you know that we're living in a generation where most people are not going to pick up a Bible anymore? Most people are not going into a Bible store. Most homes don't have a Bible. The only Bible this generation is going to read is you and me. And God says, I'm writing a testimony of who I am in the lives of those who are alive in me. And these are testimonies that other men and other people, other women can see. They see you and they look at your life and they begin to see something that is not of this world. Something that's different than what they are. Something that creates in their heart a desire to move from where they are to where God can take them to. That's what you and I are destined to be. That's why we're left in the earth as the church of Jesus Christ. We're not left here to sing songs and just have a good time and try to kind of more or less get to the finish line. We are a testimony. Do you remember that Jesus said, "You tarry and wait for me and I'm going to come to you and I'm going to make you witnesses of who I am, where you are right now, and I'm going to send you all throughout the world." Now, of course, that represents the whole church. I'm going to send you up through the world, and you're going to be living witnesses of the fact that I am God, that I was raised from the dead, that I have all authority and all power, that I can change any person who comes to me with an honest heart. Peter, the apostle, said it this way. He said, "Be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Now, first of all, if people are going to ask, they've got to see something. If they don't see anything, they're not going to ask. Now, reading the Bible has to excite you. When we see the supernatural hand of God at work in people's lives, could you imagine if the Bible was different than it is? Could you imagine if the stories in the Bible were not as dramatic as they are? Can you imagine if David had come into the camp with a donkey with cheese and raisins and bread on it and walked over to his brothers and saw the giant roaring and said, "Man, that guy's big. Hope somebody around here can fight him. God bless. Enjoy the cheese." And he went home. You imagine if that was the story in the Bible and you and I are reading it and say, "Well, that's awesome. Wow. Gee, so glad it's written that way." I want to talk about three scenarios in the Bible. Each one was different types of people. One was young people. Another one happened to a man when he was old, and the third was another man when he was more or less in his middle age. In all of these scenarios happened when it was not popular to be a follower of God. As a matter of fact, each time in each one of these scenarios, the land was occupied by a foreign army, a foreign force. Or in the case of the first situation, they had been taken to a place where a foreign army had all the power. And in these particular places, God showed himself alive, because they did not have the Bible. There was no Bible to present to foreign kings. There was nothing they could do but walk with God and trust that the life of God in them would become a living testimony. The Hebrew boys, can you imagine now if the Bible was different than it is? The Hebrew boys, there were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in Babylon, and there was a king in that society that just decided he was bigger than he was. And he built a big golden statue. Most historians say the statue was of himself. And then he sent out all of his leaders and all his governors and all the people in that society. And they made a decree that we've got a big band. And when the big band plays and the music plays, everybody bows down. Okay, everybody got that? And everybody in the society said, okay, when the music plays, we will bow. Now, can you imagine if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if this is the way it was written in the Bible? And so the band played and they bowed. End of Daniel chapter 3. You know, you and I would read it and say, wow, there's not much there. I'm not stirred by this. I'm not encouraged by this. This is rather boring, isn't it? I mean, the band played, the music played, and they bowed. I'm thinking, how many Christians today bow to the music? How many Christians, when somebody of, you know, ungodliness and authority says, hey, listen, here's the rule around this place. I'm in charge. I set the standard around here. When I play the music, you bow. And I think of how many Christians today bow while unsaved people are walking around or standing there looking and don't see anything different in them than the world around them. Think of Daniel. Now, Daniel, as a young man, was taken into Babylon, and when the king put a certain kind of food before him and his friends, he refused to eat it. And instead, he decided to eat the Hebrew diet, which was vegetables. And so he ate vegetables. And that was a testimony, I suppose, in itself. But there came a time in his life when the king made a decree, and he said, nobody's allowed to pray to anybody but me until I say so. Now, Daniel knew he couldn't do that. And Daniel knew people were trying to trap him. And Daniel knew that if he opened his window and prayed towards Jerusalem, that it was going to cause him trouble. But nevertheless, he went to his knees 3 times a day, the Bible says, and he prayed. And of course, the spies saw him praying, and they reported it to the king. And because of it, he was cast into a den of lions. But can you imagine if the book of Daniel says, well, it was only for a short season of time, and the threat was very real. I mean, to be thrown into a lion's pit or just for 30 days not pray. So Daniel didn't pray, and he ate vegetables. End of Daniel chapter 6. Wouldn't that excite you? Wouldn't it stir you to want to live for God? Wouldn't you be excited and say, wow, that's awesome. Daniel stopped praying and ate vegetables. Think about Peter. They were in the boat and they were rowing in a storm and it was like a hard time. They were giving it their best, but the Bible says they weren't making any headway. And suddenly, in the midst, now that's like all of us, right? We're sometimes rowing hard. We're trying to be Christians. We're trying to get to the other side. We just seem to be getting nowhere. We don't know what the future holds. And suddenly, Jesus comes. He's walking on the water. He's showing the disciples that he is able to do the impossible. He's able to stand on top of that which threatens to drown them. He's able to bring them out of the most difficult places this world can ever throw at you and give them the victory. And he says to Peter, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, come. Come into this place of impossibility. Come and do what no man really in history has ever done. Come walk on the water. Now, can you imagine if this story went a different way than we know it went? And Peter looked out over the boat and said, hey, no, you have the power to walk on the water. I don't. You come to me. And what if the chapter in the Bible finished by saying, so Jesus got into the boat. End of chapter. Wow. It's exciting, isn't it? Not exciting? Rather boring, isn't it? I mean, if we read the Bible and the stories went like that all the way through the Bible, would it inspire you? Would you really want to follow God? Would you see the supernatural? Would there be a testimony of God in it? Would it cause you to want to gravitate to the miraculous? Would you be stirred in your spirit and say, God, what you did for them, you can do for me as well? I'm so thankful. If you want a boring testimony, here's how to get it. Bow before the music. Bow before the music. Bow. I remember as a young police officer, one time I was called in, and every year they had a party. There was like a big party. It was just a big drunk every year. And they called me in, and everybody had to buy a ticket, and everybody had to go to the party. And I'm a brand new Christian. And I just don't do that anymore. I just don't go to the party. I'm not sitting there listening to the dirty jokes and drinking and everything else. I'm just not going to do it. And I remember getting called in by two of my superiors, one of them a very powerful man. And they said to me, "We hear that you're not buying a ticket to the dance." And I said, "You're right about that." And they said, "Well, that means you're no longer one of us. This is all about camaraderie. This is all about, you know, we are one. We are brothers. We move together." And I basically said, "But I'm not going to the dance. I'm not bowing before the music." And they got really upset with me. And one man looked at me and he said, "Things are going to get really hot." I remember his words. "They're going to get really hot around here for you." I was thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, these are grown men just getting mad because they won't go to their Christmas party. That's the bottom line of it. And I said to them, "Look, I don't do these things anymore. I'm just not interested in sitting there and drinking and listening to dirty jokes and all the stuff that goes on there. I just don't do it. I'm very uncomfortable with it. I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not going to the dance." And I remember one of the men walked in and he pointed his finger at me and said, "You are finished. We're going to get you. Straight out. We're going to get you." Well, they didn't get me. God came. I got promoted. God took me into... I got put into a place that I hadn't been... By promoted, I mean I got put into a place of public exposure. It's a long, long story. But God came. He walked with me, prospered me, helped me, gave me favor and gave me honor by taking a stand for doing what I knew was right. But if you want a boring test, I knew Christians. I knew Christians. I didn't know they were Christians until somebody told me, or they told me themselves. I had no evidence that they were Christians. But there were people in that department that were Christians, but I had no idea they were. They were a non-issue, a non-testimony, just kind of bowed and went with the music. Every time the music played, they bowed. You know, you're going to have to stand out, and you're going to have to walk with God. If you want a boring testimony, stop praying, go to the cafeteria and eat vegetables, and hope that somebody asks you why you're eating vegetables, then you can tell them, "Because I'm a Christian." If you want a boring testimony, when Jesus calls you into the places that are impossible, don't go. Stay right where you are. Never take a risk. Never step out in faith. Never do anything that's extraordinary that requires God to hold your hand, even if it appears that you're struggling. Never do it. Stay in the safe. Stay in the normal. Don't ever go into the places where you need the supernatural. I guarantee you, your testimony will be boring. I almost guarantee you nobody will ever ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Go to church, sing songs, but never take a risk. Never go on a missions trip. You want a testimony? Don't ever go on a missions trip. Because what happens is you're going to go there, you're going to see the supernatural of God, you're going to come back, there's going to be a light in your eye, a bounce in your step, there's going to be something supernatural in your life, and people will begin to ask you about the God that you serve and why you do what you do. Why do you go where you go? Why do you care about people that nobody else cares about? They're going to ask you. I guarantee they're going to ask you. But if you want an exciting testimony, stand up when everyone else is bowing down. Stand up when everyone else is bowing to the music. Listen, we're living in a generation where it's an anti-Christian time. You know that and I know that. And everybody is building up this golden statue, which really represents fallen man who in his fallen state wants to be as God. And everybody's building the statue, and everybody who's got any authority in any place is saying, "Listen, we set the standard around here, and when the music plays, you bow." You want an exciting testimony? Don't bow when everyone else does. Don't bow to the things of this world. Stand up for what you know is right. If somebody's trying to get you to do what you know is against God, take a stand for what you know is right and do what is right. Stand for the truth. No matter what it costs you, stand for the truth. You know, when it gets exciting, when you stand for the truth, it will get hot for you. But when it gets hot, there's another man that comes into that fire. If you don't take a stand for Christ, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bowed, it would have been the end of the chapter, but they didn't bow. And they stood right before the king and they said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to the statue. We only bow to Jehovah God. We bow to nothing else." They were thrown. The king was furious. And commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter. It was so hot that the people who threw them in died. And they went into the fire. But in the midst of that fire, Christ came. And the king looked into the fire and said, goodness sakes, man, we threw 3 inbound into that fire, but I see 4 standing in the fire. And they were praising God. He said, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. Praise God. When you'll be given the power to stand. No matter how hot it's been for me over the years of starting out to walk as a Christian, people were coming to Christ. People were asking. Cops are hard to win to Christ. But I won many of them to Christ. And most of them asked me. I didn't have to talk to anybody. They asked me, what's different about you? What do we see in you? Why do you have such life? Why do you have such joy? All around, there are threatenings, as Paul said. There's fears without and fightings within. But when you make the choice to stand for God, the 4th man comes into the fire and people begin to see Christ in your life. They begin to see the only one that can sustain you in impossible places. God comes when we need God. God comes when we take a stand for Christ, no matter how difficult that stand may be. Praise be to God. He will never fail nor forsake His own. He promises in the Word that He will not fail us nor forsake us. If you want an exciting testimony, pray. No matter who says you can't or you're wasting your time. I'm so sick in this country of every Tom, Dick, and Harry telling this generation we can't pray. We can't mention the name of God. We can't bow our heads in any public place. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I think it's time to pray. I think football teams should bow their heads before the game. I don't care who says we can't pray. Why did we start listening in this society, which is largely believes in God and believes in Christ? Who makes the rules around here? How did it start? Where did it come from? Why suddenly is the whole society just saying, okay, we don't pray? When we know that prayer is the very essence of what moves the power in the hand of God in this and every other generation. No, I say it's time to pray. I say it's time to pray no matter who says you can't pray. If you have a stand at the flagpole thing in your school, you stand at the flagpole and you pray. No matter who says anything about it. No matter who laughs in the hallway or says you're wasting your time. Young people, you go into a restaurant. Listen to me, young adults. You go into a restaurant and it comes time to eat your meal. Don't just do this and cover your face with your hand and make it look like you prayed. Bow your head and pray. Say, God, thank you for this food. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the people in this restaurant. Let your glory come here, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pray. Pray. Pray, no matter who scorns, no matter who scoffs, no matter who laughs, pray. And give God the glory for everything in your life. That's an exciting testimony for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Listen, I was in a restaurant with Pastor Claude Hood and Yuka, who used to play the piano here. After a Tuesday, or I think it was a Tuesday evening service or a Sunday, I don't remember which one. We went into this restaurant, and at a table, there were, I think, about 5 men and a woman that I think was a call girl. And these people were the most vile, vulgar people I've ever heard in a public place, I think, in my lifetime. Their conversation was inappropriate in a place where inappropriate conversations are allowed. It was that vulgar, it was that dirty, it was that vile. It was so bad, the owner of the restaurant came to our table and said, I'm really sorry about these people. I don't know what to do about them. I'll move you to another table, or if you feel like leaving, you can leave. The owner of the restaurant was embarrassed because he knew we were pastors at the table. And I had a stirring inside of me, starting to stir. And I said, no, just leave me here. Leave us here for a moment. And so I got up from my table. I went over and I said, hello, I'd just like to welcome you all to New York City. I said, I'm the pastor of the church just around the corner here. And I said, we have a service. It had to be Sunday. I said, because we got a service on Tuesday night. And I see you guys are from all out of town. I thought they had a southern accent. I really did. I heard a southern. I believe God allowed me to hear it. I thought it sounded like South Carolina or something like that. Turns out they were from England, and one was from Canada. And I said, I'd like to invite you to church on Tuesday night. And they all just sit there and look at me. And so they said, well, why are you talking to us? And I said, well, I recognize your accent as being from the South, and everybody in the South goes to church, so I thought you might like to come to church. We got a great choir and everything. And they said, we're from England, and this guy here is from Canada. Oh, I said, well, I said, you're welcome. I'd love you to come to church. Everybody is welcome to come to church. And then they decided to have a little fun with me, and they said, you know the guy right in front of you? He's a Canadian. Now, they didn't know I originally came from Canada, and they said, and he's a big sinner. He really needs prayer. He's a big, big sinner. I said, okay, let's pray for him then. I put my hands on his shoulders, and I started to pray. I said, oh, God, I pray, Lord, you just reveal to this man Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and just show him how much you love him and how much you want to forgive him of his sin and you want to give him a new life. And Pastor Claude and Yuka said, everybody in the restaurant stopped eating and everybody bowed their heads in the whole restaurant. And so when I was finished praying for him, I said, amen. And even the people at the table had been, so they were so shocked, they didn't expect I was going to do this. And so the one guy who was the most vocal, now he was very vulgar, and now he started swearing at me. And he says, you know, who the blank are you? And what the blank do you think is your, what do you think, you know, you're doing? And who, where do you get the, you know, blankety blankety blank blank for... to do this, and what do you think you are, and you're an idiot, and all the rest of this stuff, you know. And he says, so what are you doing here? And this guy looked mean, and I thought maybe he's going to get up and swing at me, but I was thankful Pastor Claude was there, and he's tough, Pastor. I don't know if you know that or not. I was really thankful that he was there. And so I said, well, I'll tell you why I came over. He said, God told me that somebody at this table is desperate to know if he's real, if God is real, and if there's a heaven and if there's a hell. And it got very quiet, and then suddenly the guy that was swearing at me starts to cry. And he says, it's me. It's me. It's me. And I'm talking, he's really crying. I'm talking, his nose is running, his eyes are running. He said, it's me. He said, I just got to know. I got to know, is there a God? And he said, it's me. And then he pulls a chair over and he says, sit down, sit down, sit down. Now I'm sitting down at the table in the restaurant. Now the guy I just prayed for, they were all talking about a party they're about to have. They're going to go with this girl, they're going to have this big party. And the guy at the table says, I got to go. I'm sorry, folks, I'm out of here. And they just, one after another, just start leaving. And I'm left alone with this guy. And folks, I'm telling you, what a wonderful time we had at that table. And he was crying, his heart was broken, and I was trying to encourage him to give his life to the Lord. He said, but I got to talk to my wife first. And he said, I want to do this, but I really don't want to lose my family. And I said, well, you promise me that you'll follow this through. And he said, I will. I promise I'll follow it through. Folks, what I'm trying to say is pray. No matter who says you're wasting your time, no matter who says you can't, no matter what kind of an environment you find yourself in, you'll never know the supernatural if you don't step out in faith. If you're not willing to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you and just move with God. I've known these types of things over and over again. Please don't misunderstand. This doesn't happen every day in my life. You know, I'll probably have 6 boring months for every exciting thing that happens. But I've known this, to be able to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not be ashamed and not be afraid to take a step. You don't know whose life is going to be changed if you take a step in God. Can I tell you another story? Last night I was on the elevator in my apartment here, just going up, and there's a guy on the elevator, and I felt stirred to speak to him. And so you got to do it quick. I mean, we only got 40 floors to go, so I've just got to cut right to the chase. I said, hi, do you go to church? Like, straight out. And he said to me, I'm a Muslim. I don't go to church. And I said, oh, that's all right. I said, then I very quickly found out he's a musician. And I said, wow, you should come to Times Square Church. I said, we got a band that's incredible, a choir. And I said, you know, we wouldn't force you to believe what we believe, but you'd really enjoy the music. I know God would get him. I just know coming in the door. And he said to me, he said, you know, my sister died 5 years ago, but before she died, she went to a church in Montreal, Canada, of about 3,000 people, a church that feeds a lot of people. And the pastor is a short, kind of stocky guy, kind of muscular guy. And he said she was always talking to me about this church and about this guy before she died. And I said to him, I know this guy. He preaches at our church about every 2 months. He preaches on Tuesday night at our church. And he said, I want to hear this guy. So he's coming. He said, when he's coming to your church, you come get me. I'm going to bring him to church and get him a seat. A Muslim guy, speak when God tells you to speak. Take a step of faith when you have a stirring. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the hearts of all people. Lord, God knows what people are thinking. He knew what that man is thinking. He knew that there was a divine connection. But I could have just said, no, I've only got 40 floors. I can't win him to Christ. We've only got like, I don't know, maybe a minute and a half of this journey. How can I win a man to Christ so quickly? And what an opportunity would have been missed. Maybe a soul would be lost for eternity if I had not taken that moment to speak. And then when he said, I'm a Muslim, just not to draw back. Conceding defeat as it is when God's wanting to win that man to himself. Stand up when everyone else bows down. Pray no matter who says you're wasting your time. Step out for God. And when he says follow, go. When he calls you into the impossible places, go. Don't live in the comfort zone. Don't live in the parameters in the box of what you think you're able to do and what everyone else says your life is supposed to be. When God says step out and come to me, step out. Even if nobody else has ever done it before, you do it. You step out. You take that step of faith. And you begin to know the impossible. And your life begins to become exciting. And you begin to have a testimony that other people begin to gravitate to and say, I want to know what you have. I want to know where this power has come into your life. And I want to walk this way with God. Folks, I just thank God in the early years that I didn't settle for the mundane. I didn't settle for the boring. I didn't settle for what other people said my life was supposed to be or it was going to be. But I made the choice to walk with God. And I made it. Promise to God, when you call me, I'll go. You open the door, I'll walk through. What you ask me to do, I will do. What you ask me to speak, I will say. And even tonight, he asked me to give you this message. I was sitting in that seat last week as Pastor Patrick was speaking, and God gave me this word last week to speak to you tonight. Calling you. Calling a young generation that will stand up, they will pray, and they will follow. They will not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And God says, I will be with you. I'll write a story in you. You'll become a living Bible to this generation. Praise be to God. Stand up for what you know is right. Pray when nobody else is. And go when nobody else wants to. And God says, I'll make you a living testimony. I'll put my life inside of yours and I'll write a story inside of you. And you won't have to go around passing out tracts on the sidewalk, as wonderful as that may be. People will come to you and ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Praise be to God. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God's word for everybody tonight. It's not just something for a select few that walk with God. It's for all of the church. Remember Joel the prophet said, the day's coming, says the Lord, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my servants and handmaidens I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. It's for young, it's for old, it's for men, it's for women, it's for all. It's equal at the cross of Jesus Christ. You can have an incredibly powerful testimony of God if you will just take the first steps. Praise be to God. Don't settle for a boring life. Don't live a boring life. Don't live a boring Christian life when you can have the excitement of the life of God inside of you. I'm nothing special. Pastor Patrick is nothing special. We're just two of many in this and every other generation who just said, I'm going with God. And I don't care if I look like an idiot. I'm going with God. Yeah, you'll fail sometimes. Sometimes you'll get up in a restaurant and you will get slugged. It'll happen. But don't. It does. I mean, you just once in a while you're going to make a mistake, but you don't stop because of that. You keep going. And there'll be times that God is with you and you'll see the supernatural begin to unfold. Blessed be God. You know my story, how being delivered out of such blatant fear that was in my life for over 9 years, not able to stand up in a room of a dozen people without passing out if I was ever singled out. set free by the power of God when I came to Christ. I've stood in front of audiences in the hundreds of thousands. I've been locked in maximum security prisons, told them I was an ex-cop, which is a dangerous thing to do in those places. Seeing the power of God come into so many places. I've preached in Hindu-Muslim prisons in South America. Been up with Eskimo people in the Arctic. I've been with Indians on reserves in northern Canada. I've been in so many places now, completely unafraid, watching the power of God come down. Just simply obeying God and going when He calls me to go. That's the most exciting life you could ever hope to live in this world, is simply to obey God. And it starts by just stepping out and standing up. It's that simple. You know what is right, do what is right. That's where it starts. Stop bowing to the music, number one. Don't bow to the music anymore. Don't bow to the dirty jokes. Don't go to the discos Monday to Friday and expect the glory of God in your life on Sunday night. It's not going to happen. Stand up for what you know is right, even if you have to walk alone, even if it gets hot, even if all your old friends abandon you. It's worth it, because this is about eternity and it's about the glory of God and the souls of men. Stand up for what you know is right. Stand up. Open your Bible in the lunchroom. You guys that are working in the construction business, or no matter where you are, open your Bible. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Stand up for what you know is right. I remember this policeman that used to read his Bible at lunch hour in the police department. So it annoyed me. It annoyed everybody. And everybody really, really gave this guy a hard time because he read his Bible openly. The rest of us are cursing and swearing and playing cards at lunch hour, and this guy's reading his Bible. And it's so annoying because you know in your heart it's right what he's doing and it's wrong what we're doing. And so we're trying to get him to bow to the music. So the music was, you know, our taunts. That's the music. Bow before our golden idols of ourselves. But this guy would just smile. He just opened his Bible. And one day I said to him, his name was Vince. I said, Vince, why don't you stand up for yourself? Why do you let everybody do what they do? You know, I didn't overly mind that he was doing this. It was a bit annoying because it was disturbing our card games. But I said, why do you do what you do? You know, why don't you stand up for yourself? The guy wasn't a slouch. I said, you could shut a few mouths around this place. Why don't you do it? And he said, the Lord will defend me. That's what he told me. The Lord will defend me. I said, you're nuts. The Lord will defend you. Then a couple of days later, we're in the lunchroom. He's reading his Bible. And the guy started writing him. And I stood up and I said, hey, just knock it off. Leave the guy alone. He's not hurting anybody. And at that time, I was in good shape and much younger and probably able to back a little of what I was saying. Today, I'm a diplomat. I can't fight anymore. But then I could. And I just told him, just everybody shut up and leave the guy alone. He's not hurting you. Just leave him alone. We'll sit here. We'll play cards. And I had a pretty bad temper in those days. So people knew that they better not push me. And so it got very quiet in the room. And then after everybody left, he says, with a smile, he says, see, I told you the Lord would defend me. He was one of those that there was a chain of different people, but he was one in the link that started to provoke my heart to believe that there was truth in this. If a man has the guts to stand up for what he believes in, there has to be something in it. Because I know in the whole room that we're in, none of us had the guts to stand. None of us had his courage. We, you know, cops pride themselves on their courage, but not a man in that room had the courage of this man. And I knew it, and everyone else knew it too as well. Stand up for what you believe in. Now, some of you are in a place now where you have to stand up. You've got to make a choice now. But God says, if you'll make the choice and you'll tarry, I'll come to you. My power will come upon you and I will make you. You don't have to make it yourself. He said, I'll make you a witness. I will make you because my life will be inside of you. You'll want to pray because you'll know that prayer is where you get hold of God and you find the will of God and the power of God. And when I call you, you'll begin to follow. And you'll become one of those that throughout history was able to walk into impossible places and do impossible things. And the Christian life becomes exciting, not just for you, but others see it. It would be actually good enough if it was just for you. It's an exciting life to walk with God and to know His power and to be taken into places that you know you could never go. You don't have the power to go there, but God takes you there. It's an exciting life to go when He calls. It starts with a commitment of your heart. I was 2 years a Christian, and one day just driving my squad car, I just got sick of the kind of the lukewarmness in my own heart. And I remember just making a declaration in that car. I said, Jesus, I will serve you if it kills me. And I meant it. God took me at my word, and I have been walking with him. And what a journey this has been. What an incredible, it's had its struggles and it's had its hard times. But overall, I wouldn't trade an hour of this journey for what God has done. May I have the privilege tonight of calling you to take a stand for Christ. Become a living Bible that people can see and read and ask about. And they can actually turn to the pages in your life that God is writing and be stirred to consider surrendering their own lives to Christ as Savior. We're going to stand in a moment. The band's going to play. They're going to lead us in a bit of worship. And as they do, if God's speaking to you tonight, would you come here? I'm going to just pray for you tonight. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit come upon you, give you great strength. You need it, and I need it for this generation. I'm going to pray that God's Spirit come upon you tonight. That's what made the difference in my life, and he's the one who'll make the difference in yours. If you need courage to stand, courage to pray, courage to follow. Now, I know you're young, and God knows you're young, and it's okay. It's okay. The Bible says he's touched with our struggles. He's not mad at you because you're struggling. He's not mad at you because you're living maybe in a way you shouldn't. He loves you. He wants to help you. If you can understand that tonight, he's not mad at anybody. He really, really wants to help you. I really encourage you to step out tonight and let's believe God as we worship. Let's believe God as we pray that he's going to do something supernatural. Supernatural. That means cannot be done except by God. And he's going to do it in you tonight. You will know that you've changed. You will know that you're getting deeper in God than you've ever been before. Now let's stand, and if the Lord's speaking to you, come. Just join me here, please. Come. Those that don't know Christ, you come. He'll receive you. Just step out wherever you are, and let's believe God, young and old. Just unashamedly. You need strength for the workplace. You're finding it hard to stand. Unashamedly. In the universities, you're so afraid to step out in faith because the academics will laugh at you. Well, I promise you, you'll get the last laugh. Oh, yes, when we all get to the throne of God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, as you come, lift your hands to the Lord. And just thank him for his love. Thank him for his strength and his power. Just thank him. Just love him. And let him love you. Just let him love you. It's in his love that you become strong. It's in his love that you find his power. The Bible says a perfect love casts out fear. You know, you and I know we're loved by God. And we know that God loves other people. And we just say, God, would you please help me to love people enough that I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to bow before men and women that are headed for eternity without God. Lord, just baptize these young people with your love, Lord. Do it tonight, Father God Almighty. Give these young people an exciting testimony, Lord. I pray, God, you lift us out of fear. Bring us into the love of our Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. God, I'm asking you to fill these young people, Lord, from head to toe. I'm asking you for an empowerment that can only come from heaven. God, we can't do this in our own strength, and you never wanted us to. We make the decision to go forward, but you come and give us the power. Lord, you're the one who gives us the strength to walk. You're the one who makes the impossible places possible. You're the one that opens every door, God, and makes those of us who are weak strong. Lord, it's all about you, Lord. I wouldn't be standing here tonight had you not come into my life, Lord. I'd have no power. I'd have no strength. I'd have nothing, God, had you not given me everything that I have tonight, Father. And I'm asking you, Lord, what you've given to me, God, you give to these young people, Lord. Don't leave any generation without strength. Oh, God, strengthen these young people tonight, Father. I pray, God, with all my heart. Oh, Jesus, baptize them in the Holy Spirit. God, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We can't do this without you, but with you we can do all things. You were sent, Holy Spirit, to give us the strength of our Christ and to bring the life of Christ into us and to make the Word of God alive and real. God Almighty, we open our hearts tonight. We ask you, Lord, take your hand and begin to write your story in us. Write the story of your victory. Write the story of Calvary. Write the story. Write a new song in our heart, God. Write new strength, O God, in our hands. God, write something miraculous in us tonight, Father. I pray you put giftings in many that don't have them. Give gifts of healing. Give gifts of wisdom and knowledge, O God. The strength of the Holy Spirit, let that become our strength, O God. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, give us strength tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as your children, Lord. Your word says you never send us away empty. You never give your son and daughter stone when they ask for bread. You never give us, Lord God, something that's worthless when we're asking you for something that's eternal. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, God. The way to heaven is open. The way to life is open in us, oh, God. Give us an exciting testimony, oh, God. 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 Lift your hands to the Lord, will you? Lift your hands unashamedly and just begin to praise him now. Just begin to praise him. Just give him glory. Just give him glory. Just praise him. Just praise him. Let God begin to touch you. Father, fill these with the Holy Ghost. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. God, give these young people the ability to speak with other tongues, to walk in places where normal men can't go and normal women can't go, oh God. Oh Lord, put such a burning in their hearts, oh God. Oh Jesus, give them the power to pray when no one else is praying and to stand when everyone else is bowing. God, put such a power in us, Lord, that we'll not cave in to the anti-godness of this generation, Lord. Oh God, give us a song that can't be taken away. Give us a bounce in our step that cannot be subdued by any amount of criticism, oh God. Father, we thank you for this. Do the miraculous tonight, oh God. Do the miraculous, Holy Spirit. Oh my God, 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 my God. Oh my God, I call out to you tonight. My God, my God, my God, strengthen your church, Lord. Strengthen your people, oh God. I cry out to you, Lord. I stand before your throne as one of your sons. Almighty God, Almighty God, you've got to fill this generation. You've got to touch this generation, Lord, with your power. God, we can't stand unless you touch us, Lord. We can't have strength unless it's your strength in us. Oh, my God, you'll not withhold. You'll not keep back from us, oh God, as we cry out to you, Lord. I thank you for it, oh God. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. We're going to worship for a moment, but don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, young people. Don't be ashamed of Christ. And don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to jump up and down. Don't be afraid to clap your hands. Don't be afraid to let the joy of the Lord become your strength. Don't be afraid of what God speaks to your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you tonight, God is going to make you warriors. God's going to give you strength. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God's going to cause you to stand, and you're going to make a difference in this generation. Blessed be God. If you know you're weak, thank God you know it, because our strength comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Let's give God glory and let's rejoice tonight.